Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. The emphasis in the recent talks I've been giving has been very simply on the fact that all beings possess the Buddha nature, and that this is not something hidden from us. The perception of Buddha nature, the recognition of Buddha nature, is as natural to us as eating and drinking and sleeping. Things have got to get complicated and grieved and confused for human beings in particular to seriously lose the ability to empathize, to recognize love and compassion in the world around them, and to recognize within themselves a purity of intent and a goodness of heart that in fact we share with the whole universe. For every human being, there are other beings, again, not just human beings. There are other beings who represent something of a special goodness for them. And for those few very desperately unfortunate and unhappy humans who cannot recognize this among any beings they know, there still are these beings who function for them in this way, going unrecognized perhaps, but still there. The eternal manifests in all realms, in all worlds, in all societies, in all families, in all situations, in all environments. If we have been fortunate enough to have friends or family members, animal friends, teachers, people at work, chance acquaintances who we meet and then never see again, but anyone along these lines, any being along these lines, in whom we recognize something of the essential compassion and goodness of the universe, then we are truly fortunate. And if we're able to recognize it in anyone or anything, then we can recognize it in others. We can ourselves increase the ring of recognition. Those who have shown us unconditional love and deep sympathy and empathy really are like an angel for us. Or as we would say in Buddhism, that person is a bodhisattva for us. And there are beings who I think of in this way. For me, I think of my dog Molly this way, who just recently died. And this just shows how a being can be a bodhisattva for one person and perhaps not for some others, or not the same kind of bodhisattva anyway, because of all the dogs I've ever had, and I've had many dogs now, Molly did more biting than any dog I've ever had. Her basic approach to other people, to people she didn't know, was bite first and ask questions later. But this side of her never once manifested in relationship to me, not even the first time we met, which surprised the person who had her at that time very much. It's like she was waiting for me to come along and look after her. And right from the beginning, the love that she gave me was unconditional. And this was the case all through her life, and right through her dying, I had to do things with her when she was in her last weeks that sometimes pained her, and she'd squeal in pain, you know, and trying to look after her as best I could, you know, to get her up to go out to pee, for example. Sometimes it would be very painful for her. And she'd squeal, she'd never snap at me. She never snapped at me. And indeed, of all the beings I've ever known who died, and there's a lot of them now, people included, only after her death did I, for a short time, myself wish I could go with her. It's the first time I ever experienced that. I recognized at the time, this is just wanting to stay with someone you love. So it passed. So what I'm saying is that for me, this being is an angel or a bodhisattva of a special kind. For me, perhaps not for anyone else, but she had that meaning, has that meaning for me. And I say that anyone who knows in their present lifetime, right now, can say that any being, human, animal, whatever, means that to them is a very fortunate person indeed, because they know that their life has been deeply blessed just by the fact that there was another being alive who loved in that way. Her master said, you know, it's easy, and I think she meant it's relatively easy, because indeed it can be very difficult for some people, but it's easy to recognize Kanzeon in, Kanzeon meaning cosmic compassion, can recognize cosmic compassion when it appears as a beautiful lady in a flowing gown with an aspect of benevolence and mercy. It can be a lot more difficult seeing it in that irritating person who won't stop hammering while you're trying to sleep, or that person who slurps their soup, or that person who makes the nasty pointed jokes, or that person who criticizes you and doesn't like you. Yet the promise of our training is that we can take each such person as our own personal angel or bodhisattva and let them teach us about ourselves. Because in actual fact, we learn much more about ourselves from our own reactions to things we don't like than we do from the things that we like. And we're all very fortunate. There's so many things we don't like that we actually have a world full of spiky bodhisattvas. It's the cactus bodhisattvas we're talking about here. I sometimes visit a friend down in Arizona for a few days. And I'll tell you, you cannot just go out like you can here in the Northwest where we live and take a nice walk through the woods or something. There's no woods there to start with. The other thing is there's nothing but cactus. There's nothing that, cactus and other spiky things. Everything's got spikes. Well, sometimes just daily life feels like that. Everywhere you turn, there's a pointy thing sticking you. And however difficult this is, and indeed it can sometimes be extremely difficult, that is the field in which we really have the opportunity to make merit and to deepen our understanding, to empathize with that critical person, to see the fatigue and the weariness and the load of responsibility on that parent or teacher or boss, to see the grief underlying, the saddened love underlying that nasty joke, that cutting remark, that angry outburst. The world that we live in is set up in such a way, in Buddhism we'd say by causes and conditions, but I'd say also what lies behind the causes and the conditions. I say it's the compassion of the eternal. It's set up in such a way as to constantly teach us and help us. And indeed, many people find that the things that have helped them most in their life have been some of the most difficult, painful experiences. You might say that when we choose to bow to causes and conditions in this way, we are choosing to see Buddha nature, even if at the same time we do not know that is what we are choosing. But it is certainly true that the door of deeper spirituality does not open to people who are not willing to relinquish duality, that is, relinquish attachment to good and evil, and go to a place of deeper acceptance and deeper empathy. The spiky Kanzeans are harder to recognize, but that's where the merit lies. It's a mine of merit that one can dig into, and from which one can extract endless amounts of gold, spiritual gold.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.